Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Välkomna till Teach Me Sweden. Det här är en historiepodcast där två komiker sitter och försöker lära varandra historia. Det är jag, Erik Broström.
And me, Jonathan Rollins. And on this episode, I'm gonna teach Eric about a very well-known man or woman. Yes, or criminal?
Just
so kanske. Much to learn in kanske. This one. And we'll also learn what type of music Eric does not like. Stay tuned. Welcome to Teach Me Sweden.
Jag kommer ju ska störa dig varje gång du gör det där. Varför det? Teach Me Sweden.
Oh. Man, we're gonna do this thing here. Ready to? In this episode, I'm gonna be reading the story.
Åh, jag kan bara sitta och lyssna och njuta av all historia jag lär mig. Fy fan, vad nice alltså.
Yeah, man. I'm a little worried about this.
Because
my wife knew a bit about it. When I told her the story.
Varför blir du nervös? Du är nervös att jag ska veta?
Yeah, that you might know. She's not like a history buff or anything.
För hon och jag pratar ju hela tiden.
No, but I figured if it's something that you might have learned in school or something.
Okay.
If I would have came in here with the Alfred Nobel, you probably would have been.
Yeah.
But you doing that for me, I was.
Men jag är sjukt bra skådespelare. Så.
Jag, what?
Antingen så
IKEA.
Kommer
jag.
IKEA. Kolla, du ska se här nu när du säger det. Du kommer inte kunna märka om jag vet eller inte.
This story is about a gentleman named Erik Broström.
Never heard of.
No, okay. All right. I'll just begin the story.
Yeah.
And we'll see what happens.
Okay.
On October 5th, 1785, Lars Larsson Molin was born to tailor Lars Olsen and woman Stina Olsdotter. That's going to be my recurring thing. Even if I find out somebody's career.
Jag trodde först när du sa Taylor att det var namnet, så jag var så här, Swift? Men du menar såklart skräddaren såklart. Ja.
He was raised on the Torpnöden.
Torpnöden.
In the village Djupdalen in the Ramsbury parish. Damn, this just sounds like some Game of Thrones.
Yeah, that was
he was raised on the Torpnöden in the village Djupdalen in the Ramsbury parish in Västmanland. God damn.
väldigt Game of Thrones. Men det är ju så, Game of Thrones har ju Westeros och vi har Västerås.
Yeah.
Så det är ju.
And his father was a tailor and his father before him. No, like
the tailor of dead people in the mountains.
But here's the difference. His mother came from a wealthy family.
Okay.
And this was her second marriage.
Ooh. Nej, bara här, så är det 1780.
It was 1785, yeah.
Slut.
As she was known in the neighborhood, was a slut.
As the slut of sluts.
The slut of Djupdalen in the Ramsbury parish.
Even women, considering in their minds to have a second marriage, were sluts, but none much more than her. Because she actually had a second marriage.
But she'd been married to a wealthy man.
Ja, hon var gift med en... Okej, okay, så hon var gift med en rik man.
Mm-hmm.
Och sen skilde hon sig
yeah.
och gifte sig med en skräddare.
Ja. Yeah.
Okej.
Okay. And his name was Moline.
Mm-hmm.
And then the father, the new guy, lost all her money.
Nej.
Yep.
Så han var en dålig skräddare.
Yeah, it was bad with it. And then so now our friend Lars Larsson Moline was raised in poverty because of this.
Okej, men just det. Det var ändå hans riktiga pappa, eller hur? Eller? Var han riktiga pappa eller
rika? The real dad lost the money.
Yeah, but the man before that, the rich man, det var inte
right,
pappan.
But he had taken the name Moline.
Ah, okay.
Because, I guess, because of the money part.
Yeah, just
even though his real dad was not good with money, lost
money.
I know, right?
Jesus.
In his childhood parish, he was described as an easygoing character with a fondness for entertaining people with jokes, as you and I can relate to.
As we can.
But he was also known for his refusal to work.
As you and I can relate to.
Exactly. And for his thefts. So he's good at stealing
Stall.
Shit.
Stall. Uh-huh, okay.
Mm. He's good at stealing shit. And he was described physically as a finely limbed man and very thin.
Okay. Han beskrev sig själv så.
He was defined by others as the most handsome human being one would ever lay eyes upon.
Oh, shit.
According to himself, what? No, but he's just like a slender, like a frail, finely limbed and a thin man.
En tunn, rolig tjuv.
Yeah.
Oh,
like a typical pickpocket.
Oh.
His aunt's name was Maria Olsdotter.
Mm-hmm.
And she was his maternal aunt, so the mother's sister.
Mm-hmm.
And she owned and operated the Strossa mine that her husband had. So the sisters are out here getting with these dudes with money.
Oh, that's good.
And our buddy Lars, he described his aunt as a true heroine of her sex.
Okay.
Described her, dressed herself in the clothes of a hunter.
Uh-huh.
Was an accomplished rider. Uh-huh. Loved to hunt and have other adventures of her own. And was in effect more of a man than a woman. We've all got a
deras sätt att beskriva en lesbisk kvinna.
She was butch, all right?
Hon var klädd som kille. Hon var ute på äventyr. Och hennes äventyr. Vi visste inte vad som hände där. Men säkert kvinnliga äventyr. Ja.
Exactly. He later blamed his aunt and or credited them. It depends.
It's so different.
And
different
her daughter, his cousin,
mm-hmm.
Anastina, mm-hmm. for having enticed him into criminal activity.
Uh-huh. So he is a criminal.
Yeah, you know what this is.
Yeah.
And it's clear that they played an important role in his life.
Okay.
He looked up to Aunt Maria. She was respected around the town because she was rich. And because she was manly.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
I can respect her a bit. She's it's quite butch.
She doesn't cry as much when you hit her.
When you lose her money, she moves on like a man. The tender age of 15, Moline dipped into the world of theft. Mm-hmm. He even brought his then girlfriend, Maya Andersdotter, into the thief game with him.
Okay.
So he's got his girlfriend hanging out, and then at the age of 17, he went to jail for he got caught for the first time stealing.
So it was about 3 years i brottet spaning innan han åkte dit.
But at 17, he had moved to Stockholm, and his intent for moving there was like, you know what? I'm going to travel the country and steal.
Nej?
Like steal shit from people, scam people, like go on a crime spree throughout the country of Sweden.
Men liksom från personer, så det var inte så här världens höga ambition, det är typ så här, en vacker dag tar jag Riksbanken.
No, like that. He just was like kind of a petty thief.
Enkel man.
Yeah, it's a career criminal. What's wrong with that?
I like everything. Make people laugh and steal shit from
pay
them.
Pay taxes if I can.
Yeah, yeah.
Can we make this an occupation? One of his tactics to get away from the police was to dress as a woman.
Nej, vad kul.
And he liked it. He quite liked dressing as a woman, and then later on we'll find out he actually lived as a woman for extended periods.
Jag fick en bild av att så här, du vet, han sprang in där på han sprang in där i porten och så kutar polisen efter och så kutar han in där och så tar han på lite läppstift så efter han så bara no way. Hello officer, så bara, har du sett någon utan läppstift här?
The dumb police.
Nej, det är bara jag och kvinna som du ser här då, titta på läppstiftet. I can
never steal anything.
Sometimes he was dressed as a woman for so long that he could work as a lady's maid, housekeeper, and even prostitute.
Oh, like my... vadå, vadå? Han klär sig så länge att han kan börja sälja sex som en prostituerad.
I mean...
Man byter ju inte, din kropp förvandlas ju inte av kvinnokläder.
I just be like, that's not, it's a little higher, baby.
And, no, number two.
Why do you keep putting your hands down there? Are you hiding something, ma'am?
Maybe.
Your beard comes down to your penis. I don't believe you're a woman.
Oh, it's the fashion of Paris.
So anyway, I had this beautiful Parisian hooker last night. You know they got beards and penises.
Beard as long as the eye could see.
Khaled, I think you fucked a man.
No. No, Paris fashion.
Paris fashion. But this wasn't done at the time. Like this is it catches everybody off guard. It's not done at the time.
Nej, nej, nej. Det är väldigt progressivt och
yeah.
Unikt, måste jag säga.
Yeah, so it caught people off guard. The first woman's clothing that he wore belonged to his partner, mm-hmm. Maya. Mm-hmm. And he said about his first time wearing her clothes. One day it occurred to me to dress myself in her clothing. And she returned just as I was finished. Oh my, she cried. How splendid you look in women's clothing. And she called for her parents so that they may see how well Lasse looked
Va?
In her clothes.
Det är väldigt, jag menar, inget fel i att vilja klä sig i kvinnokläder, men det är ovanligt på den tiden
yeah.
att bara mamma, pappa, kom, titta vad min man har. Det känns, hela familjen måste ha varit väldigt
mm-hmm.
före sin tid.
Progressive as hell.
Verkligen.
I think it's what, 2022? My family would be like, what the fuck are you doing? Boy, take that dress off, boy. Put that lipstick. You got that lipstick on, boy. How you gonna try to pickpocket that man with lipstick on, man? Get him, put a jacket on. Go wash your face off, boy.
Let's get him off. Where's Jonathan? Tog bort läppstiftet. I'm right here.
Why are you scared me? I thought you was a woman.
It was the work of the devil. You just appeared from nowhere.
You bet. I told you about that magic. All right, so he's like I said, he's catching people off guard. He used disguising as a woman to help him escape from crime scenes. When in disguise, he sometimes flirted with the men. However, the disguise was not used solely for professional reasons. He was also said to be comfortable in women's clothes. Described in his memoirs, he wrote memoirs that he lived both as a woman and a man during his free time.
Det känns ju som att han egentligen använder tjuvandet som en ursäkt för att vara den han vill vara.
maybe.
Why do you dress up in women's clothing? For stealing. Stealing. That's why.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't like it.
I mean, I'm a criminal.
I don't like it. I mean, I'm just gonna go prostitute myself for a bit.
Sex with this man over here. But
it's for stealing,
I'm
right?
I'm a thief.
You get that, right?
What are you? Come on, man. Come on. I know you don't think I'm gay. You can't think I'm gay, dude.
It's a professional. It's a professional choice.
I mean, it's what I have to do. I mean, you hit people in the head with a hammer. I'd rather not. I'd rather suck a dick.
Hur skulle jag annars kunna stjäla om jag inte hade på mig de här kläderna? Tänk lite.
Anyway, you gonna fuck me or not?
Kom igen nu. Var lite proffsig.
All right. In his memoirs, he lived both as a man and a woman in his free time.
Yeah.
He started using his name combined with his partner's name.
Okay.
Lasse Maya.
Oh, Lasse Maja!
Great acting.
Ja, jag menar, vem är det? Jag vet ingenting om Lasse Maja. Jag bara känner igen namnet. Jag kan, det här är,
really?
Ja, det är, kör på. Jag har ingen koll. Jag lovar.
Oh, for real? Okay. I thought you might have known.
Nej. Jag kan ha hört det någon gång. Det här är som ett blankt blad. Kör.
Okay.
Jag lovar.
He described male clothing as preferable when escaping from crime scenes because it's easier to move in.
Yeah.
Especially dresses back in those times.
Lite jobbigt.
The big old, big hip, my hips, I can't get up and down a shaft.
Climb the wall. Climb this fence with a skirt.
But my skirt, I wouldn't, the police got me, man. What happened, man? Well, I was jumping over the fence. And my skirt, you know how your skirt.
You know my professional attire.
Got caught on the fence again. Yeah. During his criminal career, he worked with other criminals as well, such as the notorious thief Bayard and his gang. Mm-hmm. That sounds like something straight out of the 1800s.
Yeah.
And in 1812, he became the associate of one of Johann Krohn, a former official who had the ability to forge passports.
Ooh.
Yeah. In 1813, he was asked by Johann Krohn to steal the church silver from the Järfälla church.
See, you don't fuck with church,
don't
you know.
Fuck don't with the fuck church, with especially church. Back then. Taxes and church and taxes.
Yeah.
Do whatever else you want.
The backbone of this country.
Exactly.
Church and taxes.
He brought along two assistants with him. And he got caught.
Klart.
Stealing from the church was a serious crime in 1813, and Lasse Maja was put on trial. He was recognized for other crimes from his crime tours, as they called them back in the day when he's put together his crime tour. And they added those to the charges. Boom, 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 boom. And he was found guilty. And here's an excerpt from the judgment. Och skall Molin för alla överberörde brott i ena båt straffas med 40 par spö.
Ooh. 40 piskrapp typ, eller?
Tre slag av paret undergå uppenbar kyrkoplikt en söndag ute i Järfälla sockenkyrka och därefter försändas till fästning att där städas i all sin livstid till arbete hålas.
Livstids straffarbete.
So he's going to be, basically they gave him life for stealing from the church and his other petty crimes.
Precis.
And he was going to do his time at Marstrand Fortress. Damn, they...
Men fick han med sig kvinnokläder in i cellen, bytte om, och de bara, oh my madam, you're not supposed to be here.
Marstrand is an island northwest of Gothenburg, but the main thing that we learned from this is don't fuck with the church.
Eller hur?
Okay, here's a little bit about kyrkoplikt.
Oh, yeah,
I saw that he got kyrkoplikt. I looked it up. It's defined as a form of public humiliation in which the condemned is made to confess and repent their crime before being rehabilitated and spared further punishment.
So it is Game of Thrones.
Exactly.
Shame.
Exactly. it could be sentenced by the church or a secular court. That's what's weird.
What?
The church could be like, you got to do kyrkoplikt, or, like in his case, a court that's not associated with the church makes you go do it, and then you have to go to the church and do your confession in front of people.
Jesus, stupid.
The concept of church duty, thus, does not have anything to do with the obligation to go to church. Instead, the name for such an obligation is kyrkogångsplikt.
Okay.
So that makes you obligated to attend church. He didn't get that, but that's just another thing.
Yeah.
So I just wrote that in there because it's fucking weird that as a thing.
Yeah.
That just like confess your sins and you got to go to church every Sunday.
It's stupid.
Yeah.
Och fast jag håller med om att jag skulle tycka det var fruktansvärt jobbigt.
You guys just sitting there like you probably can't fall asleep.
Yeah. Nej, men 40 piskrapp va. Nej.
And he got that too.
Gå till kyrkan 5 gånger. Nej, jag tar piskrappen.
As we've discussed in previous episode, there wasn't much to do in Sweden before television.
Nej.
So people came up with different ways to entertain themselves. one form of entertainment in the early 1800s was prison visits.
Oh. Alltså, typ, menar du with benefits? Eller var det bara gå och titta på dem?
Upper class Swedes would travel to prisons and visit random inmates and listen to the stories from their lives.
Ah, that's kind of nice and disgusting at the same time.
Lasse-Maja was considered a really good inmate, and he got comfortable in prison. He became one of the hottest attractions in Marstrand for tourists.
Okay.
He even earned money by charging for stories about his crimes.
Jesus. Men han bjöd också på en burlesk show varje lördag klockan 7.
I'm thinking that too. And check this out. Somebody start beatboxing. Booty shake. Lasse-Maja.
It's professional, right?
Rumors about the prisoner Lasse-Maja and Marstrand spread around the country of Sweden. It was even posted in tourist articles for visitors of Gothenburg.
Wow.
That one thing you could do is go to Marstrand and see Lasse-Maja.
Nu måste han börja få betalt. För att om han är en turistattraktion.
He was getting paid. They paid it to talk to him, to hear his stories.
Coolt.
And this led to more visitors and it led to more money for Lars.
Nice.
He became a star in the prison. And he actually had money while being locked up. And it raised his status among the other inmates because he's making money.
Mm-hmm.
His time living as a woman and working as a maid led him to knowing his way around the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
So he was a good cook. And the inmates appreciated that as well.
Men i dagens väldigt förvirrande termer som jag skäms över att jag inte alltid är uppdaterad med. Skulle man påstå att han... Skulle vi idag kalla honom för en transvestit? Alltså som någon som identifierar sig som en man som gillar att klä sig i kvinnokläder. Eftersom han säger att jag levde som man och kvinna, menar han jag är en man som lever som en kvinna eller jag identifierade mig som både man och kvinna?
I would say transvestite. That's actually what I was going to get to later in the story too.
Okay, okay.
This is a transvestite and you don't hear about that so much anymore.
Nej, för det måste ju vara det är även om han säger...
A lot of people like identify and I think nowadays, to get a little political, nowadays somebody would say they're a transvestite will probably get shunned by the trans community. As somebody that is like
a poser?
Closeting their actual... Like, no, you really are, you know what I mean? I could understand somebody being pressured. Like, say if Eddie Izzard came out now and tried to do his thing, people wouldn't say that this is a transvestite performer. They would be like, aren't you trans? Aren't you, you know what I mean?
Men det är konstigt, för att han måste ju också, jag menar, om man får vara...
Did I say Eddie Vedder? Eddie Izzard?
Nej, du sa Eddie Izzard.
Eddie Izzard, okay.
Det har varit sjukt om Eddie Vedder hade...
Behind the guitar.
Alla sånger. I like to dress up in women's clothing. I'm out of here.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Were you saying something? I think I cut you off. You weren't saying anything.
Nej, men jag bara tänker att man måste få, om man får identifiera, alltså jag tycker man ska få identifiera sig som vad man vill. Alltså, yeah. Jag känner så här, nej, men jag identifierar mig som en kvinna. Då måste man ju kunna få identifiera sig som en man som gillar att klä sig i kvinnokläder utan att göra en större grej av det. Så det är tråkigt om Eddie ska få massa skit i.
I'm just guessing though.
Hopefully. Ja, nej, men det kanske är så, men det är så tråkigt om man ska få skit för att man bara försöker vara den man är. Och sen är det så här, nej, för du är inte tillräcklig. Liksom. Allt ska få finnas då. Yeah. Liksom.
Transvestites exist.
Yeah.
Shout out to transvestites.
All over the country.
So as I said, he knew his way around the kitchen. He was a good cook.
Yeah.
Inmates appreciated it. Imagine a man cooking in the 1800s, you know what I mean?
Oh, ja, nej, det är verkligen, det är verkligen. Wow! Ja, nej. Jag förstår varför det var så en populär turistattraktion.
What is that? This is a pot.
Jag förstår inte. Vänta. Jag ger det till den här kvinnan. Oh, a pot! Oh, yes, okay. Okay, now I understand.
Like, that's why you wear a dress. So yeah. People get it.
Mm-hmm.
He appealed 5 times.
Nej.
To get out.
Han hävdade ändå att han var oskyldig, alltså.
He was, no, but, you know, he's like, I've served my time. I've been a good prisoner. You know, I've been cooking. I've been making money. I mean, I'm a rehabilitated man.
Nej.
But he got denied every time.
Det är lite som Shawshank Redemption. Yeah. Han har blivit ovärdelig för fängelsedirektören.
Lasse Meyer. Lasse. You gotta say Lasse like he says Andy.
Yeah.
Lasse kept going to that board and asking him, can he be freed? And the board said, you are wearing a dress. And I believe you are going to continue to pickpocket Lasse.
He was walking around the yard with a dress like he didn't have a care in the world.
And everybody wondered, does he have a penis? Why, yes, he does. Lars Meyer got the idea to write his memoirs.
Ah, okay.
So many people care about his story. He's like, I have this privileged status in prison because of these stories. I might as well write them out so more people can hear about the, you know, my memoirs. So, he wrote, Lasse Meyers besynnerliga öden av honom själv berättade.
Heter boken så?
Mm-hmm.
Kunde kommit på en bättre titel. Lite långt.
Yes, I gotta cut the fat.
Yeah.
And it was published in 1833, so maybe titles weren't so sophisticated back then.
Lasse Meyer, the professional.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. I like it. I like it. Lasse Meyer in a dress. No? much has been speculated about the origin of the autobiography.
Mm-hmm.
E. Wigström says he heard from an old life prisoner that the book was written by a prison preacher.
What?
And someone named Grunström guesses that the book was written by F. Cederborough, who was almost the same age as Lasse Meyer, also born in the same area.
Tänker de att han inte skrev den överhuvudtaget?
No, but he is an autobiography and he had to have some help to put it out. So,
okay.
But according to the book lexicon, the book is edited by Theodore Björk. All indications are that the information is correct. Unfortunately, he never told about his writing collaboration with them because it was for a man in his position nothing to brag about. So what I'm saying all that to say that nobody wanted to take credit for helping him write this book because of what was in the book.
Okay.
Which I will...
oh, spend on that.
the chronology of His autobiography is completely arbitrary. The episodes often retold in a drastic and entertaining way and with accurate personal characteristics are loosely put together.
Okay.
Lasamaya's ambition has not been to present an objective truth. His cheerful stories about how mill patrons, inspectors, sheriffs, and priests at the sight of him in disguise as women were seized by the fiercest passions and promised power, authority, and even marriage lack verification in the factual legal prose of the trial record. So, they're saying he, and that, it is memoirs. I don't know, like memoirs are.
It's a little shaky.
They might have added some salt on it, you know what I mean?
Det är bara, jag ska starkt överdriva mina memoarer. Mm. Om jag skriver en självbiografi, fattar du hur bra den kan bli?
I came out of the womb with a six pack.
Yeah. När jag var 17 år fick jag mitt första Pulitzerpris.
Yeah, exactly.
Alltså, då är det ju fan inte en självbiografi.
It says, on the other hand, the book is full of correct, often peripheral details, personal information, and information, for example, about stolen goods, which can be verified with the help of church books and court documents.
Okay.
So they're like, the stuff that, some stuff can be verified, which is the case with memoirs, but some stuff can definitely be verified.
Okay, so, jag vann Pulitzerpriset när jag var 17, men jag fick inte godkänt i historia. Och eftersom det sista var sant.
Exactly.
Så the är first, det en självbiografi.
The geographical information presupposes great local knowledge. So it's like, he says, I toured Sweden and I did this here.
Okay.
Then they're like, well, that is there. That church.
Okay. Jag vann Pulitzerpriset när jag var 17. Jag fick inte godkänt i historia och det hände i Nacka.
No. They're saying like, the, if you look into the book, if he describes a church in Norrland, in some city in Norrland, they're like, well, that is there.
Yeah.
I robbed the place next to it. So like, well, he's been there. I don't know.
Okay.
So they're saying it could be, they're trying to figure out if the book is, how true the stuff is, because, the language writ with short sentences and many verbs testifies to an original oral presentation. Mm-hmm. So he read it. He probably wasn't a good writer.
Yeah, but he could talk his ass off.
Yeah,
he could talk.
Yeah. Definitely. Literarily, the book can be described as a rogue novel. It was a genre that was widely cultivated in the 18th and 19th centuries and produced many extremely simple works, but also masterpieces such as Feelings, Tom Jones, and Lesage Gilbias, whatever that is.
Tom Jones?
It's not unusual, is the name of it.
My Delilah. Why Delilah?
His book's considered a classic, a minor classic in Sweden. It provides both shocking and amusing insights. I wanted to read it after reading about this. Into life in the very lowest strata of society in the early 19th century Sweden. Mm. The backstory sitters, market lunatics, thieves, chain prisoners, and spinning house spouses. Stories of Lasamaya's adventures in ladies' disguise were among the most beloved folk readings of the 19th century. One reason for the book's popularity was that it was counted among the forbidden literature.
That'll do it. Yeah.
Such that it could only be read in the greatest secrecy.
Det är lite som, har du stött på, det finns ett vanligt fenomen bland unga svenska pojkar att de alltid har en porrtidning gömd i skogen någonstans.
I've heard about that.
Yeah.
Is it true?
This is where it originated.
Did you read Lasamaya? What are you doing in there, honey? I'm reading Lasamaya.
Men det var sjukt, för så jag hörde det bara så här. Och så var det en porrtidning i skogen. Jag bara, jag vet! Man hade en porrtidning i skogen!
Have you ever seen a porn magazine in the forest?
Jag hade porrtidningar i skogen.
Oh, you had it?
Ja! Men förra veckan tappade jag bort den.
Now these kids with their damn cell phones.
It's always. Nej, men jag hade det. Det var så här, men det var ju liksom, det var ju inte, det var ju för att man inte, man var ju så liten. Det var ju som en bus liksom, att man, det här får man inte titta i liksom så. Då måste man gömma det någonstans.
Wow. I did not know that. I didn't know it was real. I thought it was like a,
oh, it's real, baby.
Real as this hard on.
I'm living proof.
But it is also literary in a literary in a class of its own among the many crime biographies of the 19th century. Mm-hmm. It can be read today as entertainment and as a social document.
Today. Precis som mina porrtidningar.
They were popular and were continuously reprinted during the 19th and 20th centuries.
Shit.
In it, Lastimaya describes sex with both men and women.
Wow. Det är jävligt progressivt alltså.
Right?
Crazy.
In 1833. Although the sex scenes with men are described as jokes, while the sex scenes with women are described as genuine.
Vadå jokes? Alltså.
So then I put his dick in my mouth and I started to gag. Just kidding. Anyway.
He
presented it as a joke of a story. And then and they said it's possibly because homosexual acts was criminalized at the time.
Så det var ett sätt att inte riskera att få fängelse igen.
Men vadå, probably an editor's note. You know that part?
Så det är typ så här. Och sen började vi smeka varandra. Han och jag, vi la oss ner i sängen. Han kom in i mig, vi hade passionerat sex. Bla 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 bla. Jag skojar bara. Och sen...
Jag skojar bara.
Du vet, polisen bara, vänta.
He had me.
Vad skoj.
Lasse-Maja.
Ska vi se nästa kapitel. Oh, en boost. Kvinna. Oh. Hoppas det inte är ett skämt.
On one occasion, Lasse-Maja described how he worked at a brothel as a female prostitute, kissing and embracing a male client, but exchanging himself for a genuine prostitute woman in the end.
Jaha.
That's an example from the book.
Yeah.
When he tells the story of how he was, you know, he tricked somebody.
Yeah, fast det var ju bara ett skämt. Det var bara skoj. Det är olagligt.
I'm working. I was on the job.
It was business. It's professional.
I'm a professional. The memoirs were also often shortened and reprinted in broadside ballads. In one form or another, the Lasse-Maja memoirs belonged to the most read literature in the countryside peasantry during the 19th century.
Yeah, I tror jag hört en jag hade sex med en man jag bara skoja. Jag hade sex med en man ute i vår koja, bara skoja. Nej, det är bra. Orolig.
In the 1930s, when an old farmer was interviewed and questioned about the reading habits of people around him in his youth, he replied, "What people used to read? Well, mostly just Lasse-Maja in the Bible."
Tänk om prästen tar fel någon dag i kyrkan.
Wait a minute. So then Jesus, what were we talking about last week? We talked about Jesus 40 days. Okay, let's continue. I lay with a man in the... What?
And I brought a joke to church to share with you today.
You going to do your confession? Your testimony? Stand at the front of the church. Read Lasse-Maja chapter 7. The crown prince Oscar, who would become Carl the 14th Johan of Sweden, came to visit Marland in 1835. Mm-hmm. Lasse-Maja came out to Oscar's boat to entertain him.
If you know what I mean.
You read over my shoulder. Oscar took a liking to him.
Yeah, of course. He entertained him.
And when he became king, he pardoned Lars.
Nej.
After 26 years of imprisonment.
Yeah.
The reason given by the king was Lasse-Maja's cooking.
Yeah. Did he marry him as a joke?
The king is a minute man. Just kidding. The reason given by the king was his cooking, but mostly attributed the pardoning to the popularity of the memoirs. Ja. I must let this man free. Ja. His books are popular.
Ja, och det är ett argument faktiskt. Yeah. Det är inte därför, men det är ett argument. Jag menar, absolut. Det är bra svep själv.
Yeah. Once a free man, Lasse-Maja stopped his life of crime. What? He now traveled the country telling his story.
Yeah.
He was a public speaker, and he invented a type of speaking called TED Talks. I'm just kidding. I'm lying. But he did go around speaking about his life to Towards the end of his life, Lars lived in Arboga and worked on his farm. He was sick in his last years and died in 1845. And he's buried in Arboga. He was 60 years old.
Crazy.
When he died.
That's pretty old for then.
Yeah.
Digaska.
Lasse Maja's stories will go down as groundbreaking. He's the most famous transvestite in Swedish history.
Uh-huh.
And he became an icon that is much romanticized. His memoirs are credited with opening the minds of many people. It was fascinating that a man could live a life and wear women's clothes and have sex with men and women. Maybe it's possible that other people can be like that.
Yeah, cool.
A song called Lasse Maja's Visa was made about him by Stefan Andersson. Have you ever heard that?
No, but you're about to play it.
I happen to. Well, I'm glad you brought it up. I got the song here. We'll listen to a little bit of it.
Yeah.
Hej olycksbröder, här ser ni en tjej. Men jag tror nog mitt rykte har föregått mig. Ja, nu är jag fångad och satt bakom lås. För jag bär kvinnokläder för att smörja mitt krås. Jag förstår att ni undrar en sak eller två. Om vad som är sant och vad ni kan låta gå. Att jag lockar mitt hår. Ja, det är nog sant. Och att många är i hjärtan som jag satt i brand. Det är som det är. Inget konstigt med det. Man tar vad man har för att skaffa sig något. Och för att hålla sig kvar. Rätt eller fel. Men jag är som jag är. Man får vara glad för det lilla. Den uppskattning man folket gav.
All right, that was a little bit of the song.
That was a fucking bad song.
Det är som det
är. It's like
det är som det är. Man har kläder. Jag är klädd som en kar, fast med kvinnor. Jag är arg, här är det här. Ska man ta sig till när det är något som man vill. Och klä sig lite grann, jag vill inte vara en man.
Who's he doing? It's like he's doing somebody, right?
It's like, I don't know. Det känns som att... allt är snart... Men det är så här, trubadurer, jag vet inte, det är någonting. Jag har svårt för dem.
Okay.
För de tycker själva att de är så jävla fyndiga. Och jag menar, vem är jag? Jag kan inte göra det där. Jo, det kan jag. Det där är inget svårt att göra. Det där kan jag göra. Det kan jag göra när jag sover.
Let me hear your Lasse Maja song.
Min Lasse Maja song, yeah. Okej.
Okay. It's gotta be better than what we just heard.
Okej. Nu kommer min helt improviserade.
Helt improviserade. Okay.
Nu sitter jag i Marstrand och jag har suttit i flera år. Jag åkte dit för kvinnoklädsel som ni förstår.
Ooh.
Jag har suttit här och klagat och berättat min historia. Men ingen kommer någonsin ge Lasse Maja en gloria.
Hole.
Lee. Shit.
I was just saying glory hole.
Yeah, okay.
Well done. I think that was better than Stefan Andersson. Take that, Stefan.
Jag är inte högfärdig och jag håller med.
And you did it in seconds.
Exakt.
The cell of Lasse Maja during his time on the Karlsten Fortress is still preserved and open to visitors with a sign with the name Lasse Maja over the door. There's a walking trail in Morskoga, close to his home and home parish, and ending in Örsarhyttan, where he used to visit his relatives during his upbringing, with information about him on signs all the way. So it's a path, a Lasse Maja path.
Men lite som en, så lite som en tipsrunda, eller på att säga. Men lite som så här, man får gå så får man veta mer och mer.
Mm-hmm.
Fan vad coolt.
There's been movies by him. Lasse Maja is a movie.
Va?
In 1941.
Hey, är det här första gången? Så vi pratar om något som faktiskt har blivit en svensk film.
I know, right? And Jesus. Then there's a TV series, Den byxelösa äventyraren.
Okay, hade kunnat haft en bättre titel där också, men ändå.
And then a film in 1992, because that was the other movie is 1941. This TV series was 1971, and in 1992, Storsjuvens pojke, is a film by Henry Mayer.
Hmm. Nu kommer jag på det. Bokens namn på engelska. Lasse Maja, Dressed to Steal.
Oh, well done. Ah, oh, love it. There's a memorial stone over Lasse Maja by the church in his home parish, Ramsberg. I said all of that last part to show how big of an effect he had on
Coolt.
Everything. Oh. But that was the story of Lasse Maja.
Very well done. Trevligt. Ah,
that was suggested as well. I don't remember the person's name, but
no. Sorry. It wasn't Lasse Maja.
It was
it would have remembered that. And Lasse Maja.
It was Stefan Andersson. Who's definitely going to listen to this.
And could you please play one of my songs?
I'll do all the research if you play my song.
You're going to love it.
He made a song asking us to do it. He said, can you please
snälla gör en låt. Skulle bli så lycklig om ni spelade min låt. Och om ni inte gillade den säger jag förlåt.
Do you know Stefan Andersson?
No. No.
That's so great. That is so great. You just shit on him like that.
Ah, jag är ledsen, men jag love it. Jag kan inte hålla mig. Det är så provocerande dåligt.
I like how you looked at me like, are you gonna play this whole fuck?
Den enda gången jag har suttit och varit uttråkad.
Okay. And we've listened to people complaining about women's voices on the radio. We listened to Olof Palme talking about traffic changing from one side to the other and how this helps society. And that was the most boring thing.
Oh, my God.
Oh, shit. So that was this episode of Teach Me Sweden.
Underbart.
I learned as I did it. You learned as I read it.
Underbart.
It's so fun. Thanks for checking us out. If you have suggestions, as this was a suggestion, then you can send it to teachmesweden@gmail.com. If you want to support us on Patreon, do so at patreon.com/teachmesweden. We appreciate it. We have different tiers for different levels of benefits that you can get. And we appreciate all the support that you can give us.
Oh, ja, in och stötta. Vi vill så gärna kunna fortsätta med det här forever.
So fun. This is so fun, man.
Ah, mycket kul.
But thanks for checking it out. It says Ben, Teach Me Sweden. I'm Jonathan Rollins.
I'm Erik Broström.
And we'll catch you next time. Peace!
Fred!
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.